By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks exists to glorify God by the pursuing of truth in God's Word and applying it to the issues and challenges that are facing the church today. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by the Ambassador Baptist Church of Hudson, North Carolina. For more information about the church, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and on the mics today with me, as always, is Nathan Phillips on my left and Pastor Setzer across from me, Pastor Robert Setzer. You're listening to episode 19. And this week we begin a new series entitled, Teach Us to Pray. So often we talk about prayer, but are we really praying like we should? Are we praying for the right things? Why is it difficult sometimes to pray? We're excited to jump into this discussion over the next few weeks as we discuss prayer and the church. The Bible has lots to say about prayer, and I've always been intrigued by the disciples' request to Jesus from Matthew 6 when they said, Teach us to pray. They knew that when Jesus prayed, it was something special every time. Many churches dedicate part of their midweek service if they have one specifically for corporate prayer, and many other churches have prayer services going on in their small groups together throughout the week. And we'll have plenty to say about corporate prayer later, but tonight we want to introduce this topic with this question. What is the purpose of prayer? So, Pastor, I'll open the floor and let you go with that answer.
You know, Matt, I was thinking the other day, and I feel like prayer is the compulsion or the need to talk to our Heavenly Father. I think about Abram and how Abram would go out in the early morning to stand before the Lord. I think about prayer, and, you know, we all have a need for direction, for comfort, for connection to God, the need to feel His presence. And I'm just like you. I love that passage in Matthew's Gospel, number 6, where the disciples approach Jesus and they say to him, teach us to pray.
There was a reason they asked him to.
You know what I find interesting there, Matt? They didn't necessarily say, teach us how to pray. They said, teach us to pray. And I love that. I love that passage right there, gentlemen.
Yeah, and, we'll be referring to that passage probably a lot today. But, I mean, it's a great passage. And like you guys said, there was something about the way Jesus prayed.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be, or else they wouldn't have said, teach us.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that they had prayed a lot in their life, but we know that it was scandalous to say, our Father.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and we can talk about that here in a little bit, but it's completely different to them on the way Jesus prayed.
You know, when I think about prayer, Nathan, you know, I think first and foremost, prayer begins with knowing and understanding some things about God, about His person. I believe that correct theology plays an important role in effective prayer. And I believe it's so very important, I would say vital to the Christian experience that we pray. You know, a child, and both of you men can relate to this right here, I mean, it's inherent. Absolutely, they want to communicate with their dads and communicate with their moms. Matt, how long are you home in the evenings from work before one of your children run to you and want to tell you about the activities of the day?
Usually about 10 seconds. It happens pretty quickly.
Oh,
like you said, it's vital. And the more we talk, we're going to get later into why is it so difficult to pray. But it is, we can't overstress the importance of prayer. And it's something that, admittedly, I think I struggle with. I don't pray enough. I don't pray like I should. I think about one of James. We talked about James, the brother of Jesus, last week, and how important he was to the early church. And Pastor, his nickname was Old Camel Knees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an awesome nickname for a man of God.
What
because
a name.
Because he had callous knees. I mean, he was such James the Just. He was the go-to guy in the neighborhood, in the church, in the community. If you needed a prayer and you needed someone to pray for you, James was the guy. And everyone knew that. And man, how we long, or how we should long, and how I long to be known as that. And but yet there's a struggle to carve out time to pray.
You know, when I think about prayer, you know, I think part of that inherent in prayer is worship. You know, Jesus, as he began, they said, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, okay, we begin with our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, we have to understand, you know, something about God. God is holy. But then he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, and you're following the story, I'm sure, Nathan, of Nabil Qureshi. And I don't think I said his name right. But he's a wonderful man of God.
Doing the best
man
we can for North Carolina.
Yes. Thanks. He was a former Muslim and had a miraculous conversion to Jesus Christ. And now he is battling a very serious issue with cancer. We were watching just a little bit of an update the other evening. And you know, how many times have people come to us and said, pray about this, a loved one, a family member, et cetera, et cetera, and they're facing something that is much bigger and greater than what a man can do, and they're appealing to God for help. Lord, would you help us? Would you heal? But men, we all know there are God-fearing people on occasion who are not healed.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so that's where I come back in. I think we have to understand, not only do we understand about the person of God and having our theology correct, but we have to understand that God has a plan. And God's plan for each of us may vary a little bit. I mean, there's some general things that's true for all of us, but then there's some other things. I think about Job. And man, I don't even know that Job, till his dying day, fully understood all that was going on. Here he was, a man, and he was a great lover of God. And I believe the man was passionate about God, and yet he was afflicted. It's just like, you know, it wouldn't stop one problem till another problem came. And it's like his own wife turns against him. He starts losing his children. He loses his wealth. Like, what have I done wrong? His fair weather friends run in there and say, wow, you must have done something really bad, Job, because God's not answering your prayer. But,
yeah.
But Job had done something really good, Nathan.
He had, and just to go back a little bit on what you said here about the person, and this plays into the plan as well, but it is incredibly important to have great theology, good theology, in the way that, like we were talking just a minute ago, there's a lot of bad teaching on prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There's the name it and claim it type stuff, mm-hmm. And as I was doing research and, you know, looking at various things, I just was curious, and I typed in prayer into the podcast search on Apple, and what come up was like 15. I'm not even like exaggerating, like Joyce Meyer, not to just call anybody out, but like she has like a 15 like lesson on like, you know, the type of prayers that are answered, and you know, I mean she's a name it and claim it top, you know, preacher, whatever. You know, you want to insert in the blank there, but it's a, you know, devastating theology that we have that says, you know, we're going to claim it before we even, you know, ask anything of God, and then, you know, he's going to do it before, you know, it's just, it's backwards, Pastor. It's absolutely
and you know, there's some
not
people,
taught.
Nathan, that feel like, don't think negative thoughts because, you know, don't, wait a minute, I'm human. Yes, I'm going to think negative thoughts from time to time, but that doesn't mean that's going to happen to me. This attitude that says, God only wants you to be rich and to be healthy and all this kind of stuff. Well, no, that didn't work for Job.
Yeah,
and Job lost this.
And if you prayed and it didn't happen, then you did something wrong.
Right.
You know, I mean, something happened in that, you know, prayer or, you know, whatever that, you know, it just didn't go right for you. And last time I checked, you know, that the basis of the whole Bible is it's nothing good that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing good that we could pray and anything like that that's going to change beforehand or anything like that in that claim it top prayer.
So it's important. We would certainly say it's very important, Matt, that we understand that we as believers, as the children of God, that God loves us. And God has a wonderful plan. Now, as things work out, they may not always work out in the way we want them to. We may pray for ourselves or someone else to get well, and we may not get well. That does not mean that God does not love you. That does not mean that that you're not part of God's plan. And it may just be that God has a bigger plan that you don't see right at this particular moment.
Pastor, I'm afraid if we polled some people and asked them what they thought was the purpose of prayer, we'd probably get a lot of stuff like, you know, for prayers to be answered. That's probably mm-hmm. the purpose.
Right.
And we should do that sometime and just poll a bunch of people. But, you know, what's the purpose of it? And certainly we do want prayers answered. And God tells us to pray for every little thing, basically. Isaiah talks of, you know, just incessantly asking things of him. And all of these things that we should bring to God, and we do bring to God, but that's not the only purpose, is to have them answered. I think it was Aquinas who said that, you know, we pray a lot of times to change us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's not just to change God's mind, quote unquote, on some things, but it's to change us inwardly. The more that I think about the prayer request, the more that I pray for someone else, the more that I'm thinking about someone's sickness and things like that, the more it's changing me.
Absolutely.
It's changing me to be more compassionate. It's changing me to be more willing to help those people. It's changing me to keep those people on my mind and you know, think, you know, godly thoughts.
And all of these things that we're talking about go back to that one verse, verse 10, where he says, "Thy kingdom come,
mm-hmm.
thy will be done."
That's what it's about.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Sure.
And I believe, and I think you've preached on this before. Jesus prayed in this specific order for a reason. He gave God his due glory. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. He set himself aside. Your will be done. And we should be following the same path.
You know, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Here's Jesus, and he goes into Gethsemane's garden, and he's praying. Great, you know, drops of sweat as blood are falling down from his brow. And he's saying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, if it be possible. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Your will be done.
Yeah,
your plan be fulfilled."
Jesus' own prayer wasn't answered.
Wow. And so, but you know, how many times, though, have we heard things like this? Well, if God is all-powerful, why did he let me get sick? Or why did he let that accident happen? Why did he let this here happen? And I think we've got to keep in perspective the fact that you can't blame God for all sickness. Nathan, does that not go back to the curse?
Absolutely.
Originally.
Yeah, I mean, and I think everyone's caught themselves in that type of prayer or that type of thinking before, that, you know, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Why, I mean, just like you stated, why do bad things happen to good people? Mm-hmm. Basically, argument. But I think in our theological framework here, we got to think about, you know, there's providence involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always know what's going on. I shared episodes back about my prayer for, you know, our twins that were miscarried.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed and prayed and prayed the whole night, the whole week that we were going through the ordeal there. And it didn't happen. It didn't. The twins were not born healthy, and so that didn't happen. And so I don't know on this side. I don't know everything about the providence of God and what that's, you know, changed in me. But I know that it has changed a lot, and I don't know the eternal benefits of it. And it seems like such a dark time here on this plane, but I know, you know, who's to say that sharing this and sharing it throughout the radio isn't the you know, purpose of it, that someone might get help.
You know, Nathan, I remember that night at Grace Hospital. You gave me a call and we came over, and then they had to transfer Sarah to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Charlotte that evening,
mm-hmm.
standing there in the hospital in Charlotte. And but you know, as a believer, we also step back and realize that the last chapter on this has not yet been written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those precious children are with Jesus, and mm-hmm. I absolutely believe you're going to see them.
Absolutely.
I'm convinced of that.
And it's absolutely crucial how prayer ties into hope, and
yes.
just the series that we got off, you know, talking about was hope. I mean, prayer plays a, you know, tremendous part in our life for that.
I think it's amazing. We talk about having a right view of God and giving him the sovereignty that he deserves, telling him, you know, your will be done, not mine. Hallowed be your name. We praise your name. But then he invites us to come to him as a father, as a child comes to the father. And I think that's amazing.
You know, as we think about hope, I love that word. You hear it a while ago. And recently, a person spoke to me about some tragedy in their marriage relationship. We'll just leave it at that right there. And sometimes you can feel so alone. You can feel so deserted. You can feel so abandoned. You can feel so humiliated. And let me simply say, don't stop praying. That is the time of prayer. The Lord knows not only what you're going through, but he can feel what you're going through. And, you know, we need to pray. We need to pray. And I understand you might say, well, if I pray, it's going to make the other person change. I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a free agent, all right? And but I do believe that God will send help to you, strength to you, wisdom to you, direction to you, as well as working on the other end. So there's hope out there.
And I think the point that we're trying to get across here is that, you know, the surefire way to get people to stop doing something is make them feel obligated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's just our human nature. It's like, if you make them feel obligated to do something, then, you know, human drive just goes right out the window. And the right attitude and the right thing, I don't know what I'm trying to say here as far as another adjective for attitude, but right stance, I guess I could say here, that we come with that aspect of it, then we understand more about God's plan and more about the hope aspect that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that right there, because I think you hit an important thing. We are not saying, Matt, that you need to pray an hour a day or X number of minutes a day to be
right.
spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about relationship.
Absolutely.
We're talking about relationship. And I think that's a lot of what prayer is relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir. And you're talking about speaking with someone a little bit ago. As a pastor, tell us about, you know, how important a private prayer life is in the office of a pastor. You bear the burdens of the church, really.
You can't pastor. you can't pastor without the Lord's help and grace. I mean, it's not about us. It's not about, you know, man, this is the Lord's word. And so we absolutely must have God's help. I tell you guys, we're living in the foothills of North Carolina, and we're looking at the turmoil, even close to us right here, not counting across our nation. Our nation is in trouble tonight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of families are in trouble. And so not only as pastors, but as Sunday school teachers, as just brethren in the church.
Yeah,
and
I don't want to get off on a political tangent, but it just echoes the point that you're trying to make here about hope and about these things. You see things online, Matt. You've probably seen them. I see them on social media all the time, and it's like there's no hope in these political candidates. And even bumper stickers, giant meteor 2016, because we just don't know what else to do. And we have to pray. We have to pray for our nation. We have to pray for each other. And we've got to pray for the lost in our nation.
But you know,
absolutely.
Nathan Daniel was in an awful position. His nation was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was over.
It's true.
And
right.
He was a captive in another nation. But what did he do when he faced some of his greatest crises? He prayed.
He prayed.
In Daniel 2, he prayed as he faced death, and God came through and answered. In chapter 6, he's an old man. As you go over to, I think it's chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. He's an old, godly statesman at this point, and he's dropped down into a prison den of lions because he would not stop praying. That's how important it was. So, no matter what is going on in our nation, we understand that God in heaven is in charge and in control.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I want to go back to this point that that we have in the notes here that we've already touched on it, so that's why I want to go back to it, is we've discussed what prayer is, and let's talk about what it is not. And I had some thoughts here that, not original, I get a lot of stuff, you know, and I can't even remember who said it now from all of my studies, I think it was Tim Keller, who I've mentioned on the program before, but he was talking about these verses that we've talked about already, and he says, and Jesus says, don't pray as the Gentiles do. Now, you know, what did he mean? Well, that's when he says, you know, pray like this, and our Father. So, I think there's two different kind of ways to pray here, and Jesus seems to be lumping them that way, and that maybe that's a little naive to lump them into two things, but you've got one thing that, like the Gentiles did, in vain repetitions, and what I believe Keller says is more of like a business-type relationship. And you pray in a business-type of things is you perform and then you're accepted, mm-hmm. in a type of business type relationship. Sure. You'd apply that to anything,
yeah.
Real estate, just any warehouse job, anything. You perform and then you're accepted on the job. But in a familial type relationship, our Father, you're accepted first.
You're already accepted.
So right. Then you're expected to perform. It's two totally different, you know, aspects
thought.
Of mm-hmm. of prayer. And because of that distinction, we know what it is not. It is not a business transaction. It's not, I'm going to perform, I'm going to do A, B, C, and D, and I'm going to get the results from God. And that's why the name it and claim it stuff is so malicious, because it's counter-biblical. It is a familial relationship. We're adopted. We're his family now, which is just an amazing thought.
It is. It's a wonderful thought.
I remember watching a video one time of a Scott Hamilton giving his testimony, and he was talking about his second bout with cancer, and he had a Christian nurse, and the nurse asked him, said, do you pray? And he said, well, you know, sometimes, you know, I pray some. And the nurse asked him, said, if one of your children had a need, would you expect them to come to you? He said, absolutely, I would feel awful if they didn't. And the nurse just looked at him and smiled, and he immediately understood, you know, what she was talking about. And he said, so now I ask. And he said, uninhibitedly I ask. And that's one of the greatest things. We have a correct view of God, in that he is the maker of the heavens and the universe. He is so far above us, but he is so with us as well.
Yeah,
that he wants to know the smallest needs.
I think of the illustration that someone gave and said, who would dare wake up a king in the middle of the night for a glass of water but his child?
That's amazing.
And yeah, it's wonderful. And yeah. It's a great thought there, and it's like, That's what he is, and that's what we are.
So, along that lines, guys, why is it so hard to pray sometimes? We talk about how important it is and how special it is for the relationship that we have between us and God. So why is it so hard to pray?
Well, man, I think you touched on several points right there.
Right in the notes, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just call it what it is. Laziness, one.
It's just honest.
We say we don't have what to pray.
Time. Yeah, and man, it's so, not to just beat a dead horse and make anybody feel obligated, but we've got time to watch TV.
Yeah.
I don't know of anyone that's probably went throughout this week and not watched, you know, at least a couple hours of TV. If they don't, I applaud them, but so, that's definitely a part of it.
I think of the verse that says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Maybe prayer wasn't supposed to be easy, after all. Praying the way we should. I mean, just by Jesus' example, prayer is hard work.
Well, true, and by virtue of the sinful human nature, there's going to be a resistance there.
Right, yeah.
You know, oh, no, take the easy route. Go do something else, you know.
Yeah, and I think about whenever, like, the other questions that we've already kind of answered, like the correct view of God. You know, what do we do when we pray? A lot of times we kneel, which is, you know, probably not the most flattering human fleshly position that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just like, it's not what our flesh wants to do. We don't want to kneel. Mm-hmm. We want to be independent. And a lot of that plays into it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just, you know, shooting out ideas here, yeah. But...
Well, and two, guys, maybe there are some things we're tolerating in our lives that we don't really want to kick out.
That's true, too.
You know, yeah. The Lord said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And yes. I don't think that doesn't mean that God can't hear you. But I think it's saying if we want to be serious about prayer, we've got to be serious about His holiness and serious about sin that we allow to hang around in our life.
Which goes back to you talked about His holiness. It goes back to the verse that we've been talking about all night. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's the first petition of the Lord's Prayer is wonderful. For His beautiful. Name to be holy. So Amen. It's definitely a part of it.
I think about one thing that keeps me in the mindset of prayer. We talk about needing to pray Wednesday night in our services. For those of you who are not familiar with our church, we spend time and we pray. And last week, we devoted most of the service mm-hmm. to that very thing. And you said, you know, some of you have unsaved children, small children. You ought to pray for them. And when I think about that, the weight of that hits me.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize, Nathan, we can't make our children be saved. We can't make our children come to Christ. The two things that we can do to show the gospel to our children. Number one, live it and tell it. And number two, pray.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about the responsibility that I bear, how do I not drop to my knees?
Mm-hmm. Oh, mercy, yes.
Yep, absolutely. And maybe as our time's winding down here, next week, hopefully we can fit it in. I've got an acrostic that I'd like to fit in. And if, I don't know what our title is next week, if it's... How do we pray or whatever it is. But it's a wonderful acrostic from ACTS. Is ACTS is the acrostic. And we'll talk about the aspects of that. I don't want to give anything away. Just tease that for next week if we get there.
Well, gentlemen, we've come to the end of our time. And we've been encouraged as we begin to look at prayer God's way. Wow. He wants to connect with us in prayer. He wants us to come to Him. Remember, you can connect with us by emailing us at ambassadortalks@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Facebook by searching for Ambassador Talks there. And you can also find us on Twitter at the handle @TalksAmbassador. We love connecting with listeners and getting feedback from what you enjoy and what we can do to improve. And we enjoy hearing what you enjoy listening to. Join us next week as we continue to dive into this idea of prayer God's way. For Nathan Phillips and Pastor Robert Setzer, I'm Matt Baker. You've been listening to Ambassador Talks, where the discussion is outside the box, but inside the Word. Thanks for listening.